All right. Well, welcome once again, everybody. It's great to see you. It's always good to be here with you. Hang on one second. I looked down at my notes and I'm like, that's not how I'm supposed to be starting. What's going on here? Well, welcome to almost Christmas. Boy, it's hard to believe Christmas is so close. Just a week and a half till Christmas Eve. We're already mid-December. Doesn't actually feel like it. I was walking in today thinking, boy, this just does not feel like December at all. It's pretty amazing. But as I was preparing the message today, I was thinking a lot about December and how much stuff happens this time of year that people dread, right? We're enjoying this little warm spell right now, but already we're talking about the dreadful freezing temperatures that are coming. I see some thumbs up about the temperature right now, but every time we talk about winter weather, it's, oh, no, not the winter weather. It's so cold and freezing, and we can't stand it. Every time the weathermen talk about the weather, it's bad weather that they talk about this time of year. We dread the craziness, the consumer craziness around Christmas time. Everybody's out shopping. We're inundated with stacks and stacks of catalogs in our mail and emails about buy now and buy this, and we just dread that part of December coming. And just getting back to the weather, we dread the snow and what it does, right? It makes things slippery. It makes it hard to drive. It makes it difficult for us to get into our vehicles. It's dark this time of year all the time, right? We get up and it's dark, and we get home from work and it's dark, and it just creates this dread about December. But in spite of all of these things that this time of year has going against it, I have to tell you, this is my absolute favorite month of the year. I know that you feel that way too. I know a few of you feel that way. December is the most wonderful month, I think. And whenever the calendar flips to December, there's this thrill in my heart. No matter what's going on, it brings certain joy to my life. So on this last Sunday before we celebrate Christmas together, I want to talk about why I have that joy. Where does that joy come from? And I can tell you that I've loved December as far back as I can remember. But the reasons I loved December as a kid were a little bit different than the reasons I love it now. And I can think about being a kid, some of the things that I enjoyed were a little bit more immature reasons. One of them, of course, was all the presents that were associated with Christmas. I think I have some pictures to go with each one of these, right? There we go, presents. I'm always looking forward to the presents that come at Christmas time, right? It also meant my birthday was coming, which meant more presents. Right? So as a kid, that was one of the things that brought me such joy at Christmas time. Then the second one was the food. There's all kinds of holiday food that was associated with Christmas in my house. My family was big into making candy. My grandmother used to make and sell candy, and those recipes were passed on. We would make all kinds of candies and cookies, and they do all kinds of parties, and we've done parties, and Christmas meant food, and that brought lots of joy to my life. And of course, there was the skiing and the sledding. I loved playing outside in the snow. There's something enchanting about all the lights and the sounds of Christmas time, all the lights displays that go up. I just loved seeing those things and how they light up the sky. And so December, as a kid, became a very dazzling and enchanting and thrilling time of year. But as I grew up, the joy of those things started to fade a bit. Some of those thrills changed. While I still enjoy receiving gifts, I've matured a little bit, and I realized I don't need all of those things. It's not about getting more stuff for myself. I'd rather give than receive, but that also means the responsibility of buying presents and shopping. So the joy of that has faded just a little. I see a couple of guys, I go, yeah, I know. Some of you enjoy that, right? But the thrill isn't quite the same. I still enjoy the holiday treats, but at the same time, I know I can't enjoy them like I did as a kid. I've enjoyed them too much, and I need to watch it, right? I can't eat like I did back then. And those treats just remind me I need to take better control of my body. Or, excuse me, what did I just say? Take better control. I mean, better care of my body. I still like the snow, but of course, now there's that added responsibility of clearing snow whenever it comes down. I gotta clear the driveway, gotta scrape windows. And it gets harder to find the time to do the things I enjoy doing in the snow. And while it's still joyful and enchanting to see all the lights that go up and around Christmas time, there's also that responsibility that comes with it. That sometimes I'm the one who has to go out there and hang up the lights. not so fun when it's freezing cold outside. So some of that joy that I had as a kid is still there. Some of those reasons are still there, but they've faded a bit. But even though those things have faded, this is still, without a doubt, my favorite month of the year. And the joy I have is much more meaningful, much deeper than it ever was as a child. It's a joy that transcends whatever circumstances are going on in my life. No matter what the trials and the challenges are going around me, I still have this joy. And it's a joy that comes from realizing and knowing with all of my heart and my mind and my strength about this great gift that God has given us, this gift that we've been talking about the past several weeks, the gift he's given us through his Son. It's the joy you read about in Luke's account of Jesus' birth. And so I want to take a look at that today. There's one specific verse we're going to really highlight, but let's read together from Luke 2, verses 1 through 21, just to get things going this morning. Luke chapter 2. Let me just go ahead and start reading as you're opening up to that. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor over Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favors rest." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We'll stop there. I'm going to go back to that verse 10. This is the one that just I want to highlight today. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." The first thing they told those shepherds was, "Don't be afraid." And it always strikes me whenever I read, you know, about the angels speaking to the people, that's almost the first thing they say, "Don't be afraid." I think that reveals something to us about angels, honestly. Our common image of what an angel is probably not what they look like. They actually seem very terrifying when we first see them. But there's also an important lesson in this for us, I think. Fear is often the first response anyone has to the things of God, things that might be out of the ordinary to us. It reminds me of something I read last Sunday in 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." People tend to have a lot of fear about God. Beyond just a healthy respect for his power and authority, we fear God's wrath. We fear that he's going to treat us harshly in punishing us. Sometimes, even when people deny God's existence, that's really a product of their fear of him. Rather than just owning up to their mistakes, rather than admitting that there is a God who may be unhappy with them, they just deny he exists. And they try to get away from that. It's a fear that's born out of guilt, some sense that we deserve to be punished by God, or we've made God unhappy in some way. And so this often kind of the reflex action people have to God is to fear him. But this angel said, "Do not be afraid." And this is the first step any one of us needs to have in approaching God, to not be fearful of him. He is fearful in his might. And we have reasons to be somewhat afraid of what he might do. But he says, don't be afraid. I'm not going to do those things to you. We need to understand that he has not come in wrath to judge us at this time. He's come out of love and in peace. And we need to let his perfect love cast out any fear that we have in him. Let his love and grace overcome that fear that we might have and allow ourselves to trust in him. So the first step we need to have to finding that joy is to not be afraid of God. He's invited us to approach him. He has promised that we can come to him. And so let's not be afraid. So this joy that I have comes from knowing the Lord, that he has shown me his love and grace. I don't need to be afraid. And so the angel continued, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. This good news is what Christmas is all about. The term gospel that we talk about is the word, it comes from the word meaning good news. That's literally what it means to share the gospel, to share the good news about Jesus. And the good news the angel came to share is what the angel said in the very next sentence. Verse 11, he says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. Jesus came to be God with us, which is the meaning of the name Emmanuel. His birth is the physical sign of God's concern for us and his desire to be with us, to save us from our sins. This is a lesson I learned many, many years ago, that this is what Christmas is all about. Whereas a kid, I had that joy in all the things that I could get. There came a point when I realized that Christmas was all about celebrating this good news that Christ had come, that God was with us. He wasn't some distant, far-off God who's watching us, waiting to judge us, but he came into our world, walked right into our lives, and invited us to be with him. Everything else about Christmas is just traditions. It's just ways of celebrating this great thing. This is where the joy really comes from, of knowing this good news that Jesus has come into the world. He is the Son of God. And so go back to the angel's statement. He says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Right? That's what this is all about. This is great joy that we should have in this. That ought to fill us with that joy. It's a joy that should be with us all time, but especially at this time of year when our minds are so focused on this good thing that God has done. We're specifically focusing on the birth of Christ. What better news is there than that God has come to share himself with us? He has come to experience our lives. He's come to understand the troubles that we face in life firsthand. And he's come to offer himself as our salvation. It's a sacrifice for our sins. He knows all about us. He knows our sins, and yet he loves us and cares about us and has come to be with us. That ought to fill us with joy all the time. Nothing should be able to take that away from us, right? This is good news of great joy. We should have joy because we have been redeemed and rescued by God. We should have joy because through our faith in Jesus, we have a God who's with us all the time. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's always present. He's always right there with us. That's something that should give us joy no matter what. Joy because God's presence is secure and everlasting. He's promised us eternal life with him. No matter what happens to us in this world, we have this hope of eternity with God. What great joy we should have in that. He's not going to leave us alone. There are great promises in Scripture that no matter what we face in life, God will be with us. He will make sure that we have what we need, that he will guide us into the life that he wants for us. There's nothing for us to fear. There's great joy in that he is always with us. And in addition to all that joy, there's this last promise that the angel made. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. There's great joy in knowing the way Jesus came into this world. Jesus is the King of Kings. His family was the line of David, the great King of Israel. And the people of Israel were looking for that next great king that would sit in David's throne. But Jesus wasn't born into a palace surrounded by royalty and luxury. He was born in a manger, a place where animals were kept. His earthly parents were just common people struggling to make a go of it every day of their lives, just like everyone else. He didn't come to obtain a place of privilege in society and only offering himself to the most privileged and important people. He came to offer himself to people of all walks of life, from the least to the greatest. There should be great joy in our lives knowing that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what our place might be in the world, Jesus came for us. He came for you. We also know that Jesus was born in Israel, a member of God's chosen people. And we especially have joy because Jesus didn't come just to offer himself to those people, to the people of Abraham. He came to offer himself to us outside of that family, all people, the Gentiles as well. He's adopted us into his chosen family through Christ. He came to tear down barriers between people. Such a great joy to see how God does that, bringing people from vastly different walks of life who normally never interact with each other, who may even have started out having some prejudice against each other, and he just tears down those walls and brings them together. This is something we need in our world today. We hear all the time about barriers going up between people, people hating each other, people attacking each other, and because one person's attacked the other one has to attack back, and we keep retaliating and dividing each other. Jesus came to do the exact opposite. And we see that happening in his churches all the time. He brings people together and tears down those barriers. And so what great joy we should have that he brings us together like that. Teaches us to love one another and that he pours out his love on us. So this is the wonderful message of the Christmas season. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I want to encourage you to let that joy fill every part of your being. Just take some time to meditate on that, to think about what God has done for you. What other thing could get in the way of that? What could take that joy away? And let that joy just fill your hearts. Let it rise up within us today. And throughout the next couple of weeks, as we celebrate this moment of fulfillment of God's promise of sending his Savior, let's give joy. Let's have joy because Jesus came to be our Emmanuel, our God with us. It's just a brief message I have for you today. I think we're going to end a little bit early. I'm going to pray. Let's celebrate with another song. Let's just have joy today as we continue to celebrate what God has done for us. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for your Son. Lord, I pray that you would be working in our hearts even now to get rid of anything that stands in the way of us having absolute joy in you today. Lord, we do have struggles. We do have concerns in this life. There are bad things that happen to us. We don't deny those things, Lord. But what we do is offer them to you. And we give thanks because you are in our lives and you give us ways to overcome those things, to persevere through them and become better people on the other side of it. Most of all, you promise to be with us no matter what. I pray that you just fill us with such great joy today because of those promises. And I pray that you fill us with joy that carries us through this entire Christmas season, Lord, because you have come to be with us. We don't have to be afraid of anything, Lord. Most especially, we don't have to be afraid of you. We don't have to be afraid of what we may deserve because of sins we've done, Lord. But we can have joy because you love us, you've come to be with us, you've offered us a way to be forgiven and have a new life. Fill us with joy because your Spirit is with us, Lord, because your Son has given his life for us, and we are absolutely and completely fully forgiven for whatever may be in our past, and we can enjoy a new life with you. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Our hearts were filled with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.